is you got to die. Then make yourself live. Now let me explain to you in brief what I mean by this. Is, you know, most people don't have self-discipline. Right? I'm just making a statement. Most people don't have it. They don't want to do the things they're supposed to do. They want to do whatever they feel like doing. Even though they know it's not right, that's what they prefer. Well, one of the first things that happens to us when we come to the Lord is we must die. We must die to our self-will. We must die to our agenda. You know, we must die to the things that we would normally be about. But that's not nothing but the beginning. See, once you force yourself to die, then you got to make yourself do what is right and just before God. It's not enough to just, you know, it's in this place. I deal with people that come in with outward signs of an inward problem. Amen? And you know, and I've said it before, I really like working with people that know they have problems more than I like working with people that think they don't have problems. Why? Because if a person comes in here and let's say that they've been a drunk or an alcoholic or promiscuous or whatever, those kinds of things, they know they got a problem. Right? And that's good, because as long as they know they have a problem, they're more willing to listen to the solution for that problem. But people that really think they don't have a problem, people that come to God thinking that they've been okay all their lives, they are much harder to get to listen than the people that know they have a problem. Amen? Now, if we did not need Jesus, He would not have come. So the fact is, He came for everybody. So what that means is everybody has a problem. Everybody has a problem. Whether they ever drank or did drugs or whatever, it just means that we all have this initial Adam 1 syndrome. Right? Separation from God. And all of us, until we meet God, have the same problem. We are separated from God. So the problem, the outward sign, may be addiction, may be promiscuousness, may be alcoholism, may be just a wildness of heart. But the end result is still the same, that when we connect with Jesus, our life will turn around and be right in Him. But the first thing that we have to do is we have to die to all our own old agendas, to all the things that we used to want to do. You know, it's not easy either, but that isn't the hard thing. And I'm not trying to play on a word game thing here. I'm telling you that the easiest thing to do is to give up your addictions. I'm telling you that the easiest thing for you to do is to give up your alcoholism. The easiest thing for you to do is to just go to church and relax in the congregation and enjoy the word. And that is the easy thing to do. It's quiet in here. And I want it to be, because I want to prepare your heart for the truth. That is the easy thing to do. You understand? The hard thing to do is make you live for God. It's not enough to just quit doing things that you know you're not supposed to do. It is time you make yourself do the things that you are supposed to do. It's not enough to just think that you've arrived because you've quit those other things. The fact is, you are still far from your destiny. You must make yourself do the things you're supposed to do. Right? Now, when people come in here, I love rock stars. What's a rock star? Well, it's not a guitar player. Amen? It's a person that smokes rock cocaine. You know, I never really smoked rock cocaine. I think I smoked it once. I don't remember, but I mean, it's just like I was sitting there going, J.D. Black Label. Rah. I want whiskey. I didn't really much care about drugs. You know, I mean, drugs were too expensive for too little unless you're going to make money with them. I mean, that's how I looked at it, right? I didn't really care for drugs too much. But anyway, when I first started going into what I do now, especially in the L.A. Bowl area, people that smoke rock cocaine are very much so prevalent in the society we live in today. I remember when it first came out. I remember when people were freebasing cocaine. I remember all that stuff. Amen? And it's highly addictive, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when they come in, what happens is that once you cut the tie, get rid of the dope, they want to sleep for a month. I mean, I had a guy that slept for probably 16 or 17 hours a day for a month because I didn't know no better. And what it was is he really just didn't want to wake up because along with that drug goes a serious depression. Right? When you're coming out of that drug, you're in a serious depression. And like for a month, he would sit there every day. And I mean, I was just in awe of how much this guy could sleep. I would sit there and walk in that room and I go, man, how does he do that? I mean, I've been on drunk where I slept for 12 hours and I thought, that's a lot of sleeping. But this guy could sleep 15, 16 hours a day for a month. See, you're laughing, but I'm telling you a truth. I mean, people, when they get off the dope, they don't want to get up because they got to face their issues without the dope. And so is everybody. When they first come to the Lord, they go into a haze. Right? They want to stay in that haze and not address their issues of life that they must address in order to have a life. You understanding? Usually when most people come to the Lord, what happens is something traumatic has happened in their life. I didn't say always. I said usually. Right? And then they wake up out of their fantasy island thing and they don't want to get up. They just want to kind of, well, you know, I'm not on that stuff anymore, so I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You never should have been on that stuff. You get it? The problem isn't the stuff, people. The problem is you need to change your life. You understand? The problem is not what you've been on. It's not even what you've done. The problem is you need to change your life. And people don't really want to change. How many people understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm sitting there telling you today that you've got to die. And yes, you have to die. It is necessary that you die to your old ways. But it's also necessary that you make yourself live in a new way. The dying part is easy. You know, because like I say, most people that come in here may have a substance abuse problem. They figure they're off that substance, they're okay. Absolutely not. You're not okay. And you are in danger of going right back to what you used to do. You must change your life. You must make yourself change your life. And you know what? It isn't even drugs. Everybody is the same. If you've been a person that's a money monger, you get that high off of money. It's the same thing. It's an addiction thing. Because you're addicted to the wrong things, and you got to turn around and get addicted to the right thing. Amen? Father, I just ask as I bring this word, God, that Lord, you just open up their hearts and their minds to the truth that we've got to be busy about. No matter if we like it or not, no matter if we're tired or not, God, we need to learn to live the life that you always had for us and quit having a pity party every time we seem to do more than somebody else, because very few people do what they're supposed to do anyway. So we are not to judge our life by the church, but by every word of God, Lord. And I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you today? You see, it's not enough to just die. Although when you people mostly come here, the first thing they're thinking about is how hard that is. And I'm sitting there and I'm not trying to get you depressed. I'm just trying to tell you that there is much more to life than just getting off dope. You know what I mean? That's nothing. You never should have been on it. Amen? You've missed your life because you've anesthetized it. So you have to not just think you've arrived because you're off a substance, or maybe you got away from that abusive relationship, or whatever it might have been in your life, but you must accept the fact that God has a great life for you, and now you must kickstart your life and start to have a real life. But every morning you gotta kick it into gear. Instead of moping around, oh, woe is me, it's terrible, it's 5 o'clock, I got... No, get up! Get up and get up with fire! Make yourself do these things. Get out of that depression syndrome that'll send you right back to where you came from and get up and get mad at the devil and start kicking his butt in your prayer life and start walking in fire that God wants to give you. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 31. It says, this is Paul, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. You see, you may be over those things, you think, but you have to make sure you're over those things daily. You have to make sure that you nail yourself to that cross daily. You have to live that sacrificial life daily. You have to get out of your agenda daily. You must make yourself submit to authority of God daily. Amen? You've got to die daily. Some days I get up and I'm in pure-blown rebellion. I mean, I hate life. I hate everybody. I don't want to do nothing. I'm sick of everything. I want to just go run away. How many people know what I'm talking about today? But I don't do it because I know I cannot do that and have that life that I have today. Amen? I can't do it. So I've got to recognize the fact that I have to die daily. I don't no longer listen to people that tell me this is okay and that is okay. It may or may not be okay for them, but it is doubtful. They're probably just lying to themselves. For me, I have to bring my flesh under subjection daily. I have to make myself do what I'm supposed to do daily. I must die daily, and so must you. Amen? But that's just the start of your day. That's not your whole day. That's just how you start your day, is making sure you're in that mind frame, in that prayed up life, where you have put your flesh under subjection. And you know, when I first got saved, I would have to kill myself a dozen times a day. Because I would go through things and I'd start to blow up and I'd have to shoot myself in the head again. Amen? And that's good and that's normal, but you got to make yourself do that all the time. It says in verse 32, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, it says, let us drink, for tomorrow we die. You know, one of the reasons why I used to be such a party animal, if you will, is because I didn't care if I died, and I figured I was going to die, and I was going to go to hell, and that's the way it was. So why not? Any pleasure I'm going to get is right now. So I'm going to get all the pleasure I can get. And I did good. But that's the lie of the devil. Amen. The fact is, there isn't nothing that you have done that God cannot help you out of and forgive you for. So you got to get a grip on your life now and recognize that that animalistic lifestyle you used to live must end, because you have the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ. It's the hope that you can have it. And you can have it. But you have to change some things in the way you think so that you don't end up on the wrong side, the dark side, but end up on the light side, which is the right side. You get it? So you gotta die. And then you gotta make yourself live. And I'm gonna go on. It says in 33, do not be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't hang around with half-stepping Christians that may or may not be Christians, but are probably going to hell anyway. You get it? See, I'm not convinced that everybody says that they're a Christian is one. I'm not convinced just because people were raised underneath the pews that they're even saved. As a matter of fact, I'm more convinced in the Word of God that says, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And it also says, and there are few that will find it, and I am bound and determined to be one of the few. And so I will not allow deception in my life. I will not allow myself to lie to myself. You got to get a hold of this, people. It doesn't matter what your parents said. It doesn't matter if your grandfather was a preacher or your grandmother too. God don't have no grandchildren. God has children. Don't matter what your parents did. Don't matter what your brothers did. Don't matter what your sisters did. Don't matter. It matters what you did. And you got to get a hold of that and not be deceived by the lukewarm church that is in existence today. Because if you go to Revelation, you're going to get a clear picture of what God thinks about a lukewarm church. He says, I just want to puke them out. Well, I don't want to be a piece of puke, if you know what I mean. So I'm not going to be deceived. I'm going to make sure that I look at everything soberly. Now, soberly to most people means they ain't high, but soberly means rightly dividing the word of truth according to the word of God. Amen? Not according to what you think, because you got stinking thinking. Full of the world, but according to what God says. Amen? Alright. So do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Why is it you still hang around with scumballs when you say that you're saved? Why is it that everybody you call on your phone is a lost heathen type, or a girl or a guy that is still trying to convince you to come home and live in sin one more time? Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to quit deceiving yourself. Now, that person may not mean to be evil, but they're not responsible for your actions. You are. Oh, Dominic, that's cold. No, that's real. You got to get real in your life. I'm going to tell you, they got devils walking around in mini skirts and tank tops. Take your pick. Amen. Didn't you ever read about Samson? He had the blessings of God in his life and the cursings of men. And he chose the cursings of men. And it ruined so much more that God could have done with him. Amen? Think about it. Alright. It says, awake to righteousness. You gotta die, but you gotta awake to righteousness. You gotta die to the things you've been about, but you've gotta learn about righteousness and walk in it and be busy about right things now instead of wrong things. Awake! Wake up to righteousness! Awake! What does it mean? I don't care what you used to be. I am not condemning what you used to be. It matters not to me at all. It matters not to God. He put that into the sea of forgetfulness, but He's telling you, wake up! You know what I mean? Wake up! Quit your gaming! Quit your stuff! Quit it! Learn to live for God. Awake to righteousness. What does that mean? I had some clowns in this place that for a while, you know, I'd make them write scriptures, so they were tying two pens together. Clowns, man! I was so mad, I was spitting nails, I wanted to rip every one of their heads off. Why? Because they hadn't died yet, and they didn't understand that righteousness means you don't cheat no more either. You pay a price. Amen? And every one of those people, I took them out of wherever they were at, and I gave them a choice. You can go to first base and start again, because you've learned nothing! Nothing. So try it, and you can start again. Because if you're still like that, then you haven't even died yet, let alone awoke to righteousness. Oh, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Shut up. You hear me? It's not funny. Because it shows me that no matter where they're at, they're still going to the pit. Because they haven't learned the first thing yet. Amen? So you got to awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak to you to your shame. What's he saying? A lot of people still, even after they quit some things and died, do not yet have any knowledge of God and the things of God. Oh, now they're normal. They don't get high, they don't get loaded, and they don't screw around much. It's only once a month now. You get it? But it's still the same, because they have not awoke to the truth. You got to get a hold of this, people. You got to get a hold of this. You see, dying is really easy, but making yourself live right is not going to be easy. And you can only do it by putting yourself in Christ. You can only do it by getting your mindset and everything in you into God Almighty. You can only do it by developing that one-on-one relationship with the living God, where He becomes the man in your life. He is your ultimate everything. And you go to Him with everything in your life and you stay there the rest of your life. That's the only way it's going to work. That's why people are not saved by their works, but by their relationship with God. Amen? And when you are in real relationship with God, these things I'm talking about, although are not easy, they are able to be accomplished. Amen? You've got to get a hold of this. You may live on earth in this stinking dirt bag for 60 or 80 years. But according to what you do while you're here, and especially your relationship with God, is going to determine where you live eternity. And you may be a nice guy or a nice girl or not, but that has nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or not. I was on a job site and this carpenter came up to me and it was before I went full-time ministry. And, you know, and I'd been very bad and he knew it and stuff. And I changed my life. And, you know, I was trying to witness to him a little bit. And he goes, well, you know what, bro? He says, I ain't like you. I have never done this to people or that to people. I've done this to this. You know, I mean, he gave me a list of everything that I had done. And he said, I haven't never done those things. He said, I'm a good person. And I'm sure that God is a just God. And He's not going to send good people to hell. And I looked at him and I go, brother, I said, I only wish what you say was true. There are some goody two-shoes that you know that never did anybody no real harm in their life that are not going to make it into heaven because they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You get it? And if you sit in this church pew all your life and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not going either. Because it is all relationship. It has nothing to do with good works and bad works because it says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And the only way you can live the life that I'm talking about, to live for God, to live in that righteousness that God wants you to live in, is to have a relationship with God. And you know what? A relationship takes your time to develop. You must spend your time with God to develop your relationship. And that's going to cut out a whole lot of your crap in your life all by itself. Amen? You see, you've got to get a hold of this, people. I'm not trying to preach a feel-good message. I'm trying to teach a practical truth. I'm not trying to make it seem like everything's a bowl of cherries. Because to me, life is a bowl of cherries right now. But to other people that would look at my life, they would think that it is not. Amen? I have much responsibility, but I have joy insurmountable. Amen. Right? But God provides for me to be able to have that attitude and that joy in my life by my service to Him, my responsible service to Him, my daily service to Him, my abounding in the works of God instead of the works of my flesh. And the way that I accomplish that is by my relationship with Him. He drives this car. I don't drive it myself. Alright? In 35 it says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" This is a dirt bag. Let me tell you why there is all these different colors of people on earth. Alright? There's black, brown, yellow, green, all the other colors. There's black, brown, yellow, red people. There's different shades of every color. Look at dirt as you're walking by in life. There's brown dirt, there's black dirt, there's deep brown dirt, there's tan dirt, there's yellow dirt, there's red dirt, there's all, and of course there's white dirt. I wouldn't want to neglect you guys. But in fact, as you go through life and you just put your eyes on the ground, everywhere you lurk, dirt has different colors. And this that you are so proud of and you spend so much time on is a dirt bag. And if you come back in 1,000 years and look at it, it will be a pile of dust. So the reason why there's all those different colors is because God made us from dirt. But the essence of who we are is inside that dirt bag, and that's called your spirit. Amen? And you see, what you got to get over is trying to take care of this dirt bag and worrying about what color it is or what this is. And you need to get into the Spirit of the living God and know that that is the thing you need to be developing in your life, because that is the only thing you have that is eternal. You know, I've talked to people from different nations that know the Lord, and it's a common spiritual boundary that happens in our lives, that when we talk to one another, when we all love Jesus, it crosses every grain that there is on earth. Doesn't matter if they're black, white, green, yellow, orange, or pink. It's all the same. There is one common spirit of the Lord in those that are His children, and it transcends all boundaries. So quit looking at the outside and start developing your inside. It says in 36, it says, "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies." He's talking about planting a seed. You know, you put a seed in the ground, and that ground, that if you look at that seed, you'll watch that seed die and split open. And out of it will come a shoot of life. Do you get that? You put a seed, I mean, we've all done it. We all went to school to some degree, some of us more or less successfully. And what happened is that seed that we put between the wet towels or whatever in that class as a child, we looked at it and the seed split open and died. And out of that dead seed came life. So you see, you have got to die first before real life is going to come. But you've got to allow that life to come and make it come. That life has got to force itself out of that dead seed. You get it? It's the same with your spiritual self. You got to force your life to come out of your death. You got to force your life to come out. I mean that. You have got to kickstart that thing that is dead to get it to live. It's the only way that you're going to abound in the things of God. Say, then what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases. And to each seed, its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. Everything that has life, everything that is different. Amen? And the thing I want you to go back to and look at is verse 38. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. And this is a verse I want to focus on for you today. This is a verse I want you to plant in your spirit. This is a verse I want you to grab a hold of with everything you got. You need to die. Yes, it is true. You got to die. But you need to let God kickstart your life. And you need to go down the path that God chooses for you so that you will be that plant, that being, that thing that God wants it to be. You cannot choose what God wants you to do. You cannot choose the end result of God's work, but you must embrace God in your relationship and allow Him to have you as a whole and turn you into what He wants you to be. I got one last verse I'm going to share with you. I am not, and you had better not be, what you used to want to be. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm going to say this one more time. I am not, nor you should not be, what you used to want to be. Your desires, your goals, should no longer be what they used to be. Are you grabbing a hold of this? You have got to allow God to sovereignly move in your life to make you that life form that He wants you to be so that you will grow in the full bloom and have that destiny. And that's like I'm sitting there telling you that dying is not enough. You got to make yourself live in what? Amen. You got to make yourself live. In Christ. What does that mean? The end result is you give your life to God wholeheartedly. You hold nothing back and you let Him move in your life and you go where He sends you. You do what He tells you and then you become what you were always supposed to be instead of what you used to be. Because you got to let the old die in order for the new to come along. And how does that happen? You've got to, yes, you're right, have that relationship with God. And you've got to start to be busy about the good things instead of the bad. You know, people crack me up. You know, they're always talking about, well, I'm going to take a weekend off. Where is that in the Bible? Show me that. I want somebody to show me half the crap we live by in the church today. It's Labor Day weekend. I'm going to be gone. Why? It's a stinking heathen holiday. Where'd you find that in the Bible? You get it? See, I don't receive that crap. My old man played those games, but my new man ignores it on purpose. I don't want no part of my old life ever rearing his head ever again. I don't give a rip about no stinking Labor Day weekend. Amen? I don't. Why? Because I remember my Labor Day weekend, and there's a good reason that I don't want nothing to do with them no more. Amen? That's part of my old man. And my old man must die in order to live. And I'm not going to let that creepy sucker come back into my life. I'm going to make sure it stays dead. I have made myself come to a place where every day the works that I want to accomplish are about the works of God. I need some time off. Well, you know what? I never took any time off until I got married. And now that's another part of my ministry, and so I take time off. Until I got married, I never took time off. I was fully in His service all the time. I didn't need a break because Ian filled me every day. Did you get that? Take a break from what? Jesus? I love Jesus. Why would I take a break from Him? You get that? What do you mean take a vacation? What the heck? From what? From the one you love? To go take and resurrect that old man one more time? No, I don't think so. I ain't playing that. Homie ain't that stupid. You understand? You got to stay dead. You can't get caught up. I'm so PO'd at the practices of some people that are in the church today. It's just like they work 5 days a week in an office and then they go home. What the hell is that? What do you mean you go home? What do you mean you just work in an office? What do you mean you don't go out on the streets and witness? What's wrong with you? You think because you work in a stinking office, lining up numbers and prison and crossing and all that, that you got some kind of a life in Jesus? Are you out of your mind? A life in Jesus means that everything in your life has changed. And you've got to tell somebody. And you're about it all the time. I look for people to go talk to about the Lord. I eyeball them. I like the real scrungy looking ones, if you know what I mean. I like the cheap. This guy looks like he needs it. Like, hey, bro, let's talk. You don't understand what I'm saying? And you know what? I want to plant that seed that someday, if he will or she will listen, will take and die and live as a new plant too. I'm going to close with this other last verse. This 58, this is one of my favorite verses. I want you to know that this excludes almost all the things that I could ever tell you. It really kind of embodies it. It is my life and the way I plan on living it till Jesus comes back, or else he decides I'm done, he can take me home. Right? A lot of people use this verse, but they just use it, they don't live it. I wanna live it. Amen. In order to be that new creation, in order to be formed totally by God, in order to totally live a new life, this is what you need to do. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. What's that mean? Steady about. Steady means no more Labor Day weekends. Do you know, let me just share this with you, and this is pretty sad. Every year on Thanksgiving, usually people feed whatever. They have big feed and stuff. I always go downtown, and I pick up the people on the street, and I bring them up here, and I put a movie on and stuff right here, and we feed the people from downtown and stuff. And that's like Christmas even, or New Year's. Sometimes I'll do the same thing. Because it's like everybody forgets people. They go home to their families. But you see, my family is the world. My family is all the people that are lost out there. And I sat there and we'd worked all Christmas one year and last year whatever. I went over to the accounting office and I told them I wanted to take and, have a big old dinner barbecue spread and stuff. And I had to go get some money and they're talking to me and they go, well, it's good that you just take and, spend some time with discipleship, the people here, and have a barbecue and all that, and, relax. I go, oh, no, brother. I go, we are going to relax, but we're going to go downtown, and we're going to pick up all the people I can find downtown that have nowhere to go. They got nothing going on, and I'm going to bring them up here, and we're going to love on them, and we're going to feed them, and we're going to water them, and we're going to watch shows with them together, and we're just going to have us a time. I was told that I should take some time off to be with just you guys, right? And I told him, I go, well, I just don't believe like that. I believe that I should take that time and be with the people that really need my time. You guys get my time every day. Amen? And so if we go out and we tell what Jesus would do, you see, would he take Labor Day weekend off and go out there with all the rest of the drunks carrying on and stuff? And maybe he'd go out there, but he'd witness to them. You know what I mean? But would he imitate the events of the world? Absolutely not. But this is what I've learned in my life, is every time I think about taking a time off, I also think about what I should be doing in that time off. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you have to sow into other people's life. And someday, when the Lord speaks, and you get married, did you hear how I said that? Said when the Lord speaks, not when your hormones attack you. You know what I mean? And you get married, then you will have to spend some time to solidify that one flesh relationship. Amen? But until then, you need to just get married to Jesus. And you need to just stay married to Jesus. And you need to contemplate every day of your life in Jesus. And that should be your life until the Lord speaks. Amen? And if you would learn that and quit thinking about holidays and all that crap in the world, you'll do much better. But I'm going to end with this verse. It says, the name of this Bible study is Die and Make Yourself Live. So you die, you get over those things, right? But you got to make yourself live. And this is how you do it. It's this last verse. This is the trick. This is what you're looking for. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, this is the fix. Be steadfast. What does that mean? Steady about. Immovable. No matter what everybody does around you, you be immovable. Do not be tossed about by every strange word of doctrine. Do not be tossed about by events in the world around you. Do not be moved by these things. You be steadfast, immovable, always doing what? Abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is in vain. And the word that you got to read there is labor. A lot of you guys ain't never labored. Don't want to labor. Don't want to think about laboring. Want somebody to give you something. You got something. You got your salvation. But I'm here to tell you that you need to be busy about the work of God always. Steady, unmovable, always abounding, which means overflowing in the work of God. Not sitting on your blessed assurance. Not just doing what you want to do. But always being about what God would have you to do. And when you will do that, then He will establish you. That seed will pop open. That new life that God promises will come out. You will become something that you never imagined was even possible for you. And that will be what God always created you to be. And this is the way you get the new life. You got to make yourself live in Christ after you die. And the dying is not the hard thing. The hard thing is going to be making yourself live in Christ and die daily to what you used to be about. Because if you cannot do that, you cannot have that new life that He wants to give you. You see, people, I'm here to tell you today that we can all have that new life. But you have got to die. You have got to die. And that is not the big deal. Not many people I know really want to be a dope fiend. Not many people I really know want to really be an alcoholic. They are these things, but they don't want to be these things. You understand? Not really that many people want to be known for being a promiscuous person. They may be these things, but they don't really want to be these things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So dying, in the end, is a fulfillment of your own will too. That is, you don't want to do these things no more. You get it? Now, in order to stay away from those things and live, you must abound in the work of God. And when you abound in the work of God, He will take that seed, pop it open. That new person will come out, will grow, and become a great, great creation of God. But the trick is, you've got to be abounding in that work, not standing on the sidelines watching others do the work. You get it? You know, people, I'm going to close right now and I'm going to tell you this, that I'm not trying to scare you off. The Lord loves you and He will enable you. Amen. He will help you to do these things. You can do these things. But you've got to recognize that life in Christ is not just Him fixing some outward signs of your problem. Life in Christ consists of Him giving you a new life. You see, it's not one thing, although most people come here looking for one thing. It's the other thing that you've really been looking for all your life. But you got to make yourself abound in the works of God in order to get that new life. If you can get a hold of this and understand, you know, it's going to take time. Nothing happens overnight. But God absolutely will perform those things that He has started. How many people know that He started a good work in you? And He is more than able to complete that work in you. So if He's completing the work, all you really have to do is let Him and recognize that now you need to wake up and understand about righteousness, which is right way of living, which is living in Him. And abound in living in Him, which is like overflowing in Him. And when you make yourself live that life, you're going to have an absolutely wonderful life above and beyond anything you ever could dream or imagine, no matter what you've been through to this day. You understand? And that is the promise. That is the promise of the abundant life that God gives to every believer. You see, if you think that your whole life is just going to be a struggle with drugs and alcohol, then it is. But if you know that the truth of what God says is that you're going to get a new life and you believe that in your heart, then that is your truth and that is what will be. You understand? So you got to get away from this side where you're struggling with stuff that you never should have been about anyway. So just get rid of it and look up and towards Him, towards this new creation that He wants you to be. And you raise your hands towards His light and you keep walking towards Him. And in the end, you're going to get it all. You're going to get it all. You're going to get the whole thing. And that is what every person must focus their eyes on. Is that abundant life, that new life, and quit looking back at that other thing. That ain't nothing. Let it die. And embrace those things to come. Father, I love You, God, and I just ask You today that every person in this place get a hold of this, God. That it be this day that we learn that yes, that we need to wake up, that we need to wake up to righteousness, that we need to recognize these things in our life, that they are more than possible. And God, I just ask especially this day that You strengthen us for the journey, God, because it is a journey, God. And God, that You prick our hearts and have us and cause us to look up, and that Your conviction, that it settles in our life in a way that will direct us away from the path of the past and towards Your future, God. Let it be that we reach our arms up daily, embracing what You would give us, and that we just turn aside from all those other things that have been, because God, we want to be in You, because when we're in You, all things will happen to Your good in us. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.